time of meditation and just waiting on the Lord. And when that happened, sometimes the Holy Spirit would come down on people with such power that they would actually start shaking and quaking. And of course, the people that couldn't understand that, because that's a pretty weird concept, they just says, "Oh, those Quakers," you know. So it was a derogatory term. But I have no memory of any shaking and quaking, and my dad has no memory of any shaking and quaking at this particular church. I think that was like a thing of the past, which is really sad, because if the Holy Spirit shows up, church is a lot more exciting. And of course, my memory of as a little three-year-old, hard wooden pews. Not only did they not have modern plumbing, of course they didn't have air conditioning, and so there were fans in the hymn book rack. And I think they said that they were compliments of Glidden Poultry or something like that. And so very, very, very much the kind of church back in the 50s that a child would think was boring. We visited the church many times when I was a little bit older. That's where my grandma went. That's where my cousins Linda and Jerry went. Aunt Mildred was a Sunday school teacher. My sister Phyllis says that under the table there were spider webs in Aunt Mildred's Sunday school class. So we do have memories of that. Okay, so, oh, this way. This is Grandpa and Grandma that we went back to visit sometimes, and they, Grandpa and Grandma Trafford, and they went to that church. This is my mom and dad. Were you married in the French church, Dad? Yeah, because I know this picture is in a studio. So that's my mom and dad, and they were married in the Free Church. And my mom graduated from high school in 1945. My dad was over in the war. I hope he gets to meet the Drosdicks, because he was over in England. Dad came home from the war. They ended up dating, falling in love, getting married. But a lot of people that got out of the war were very, very poor. And so my parents were too. They rented farmland, and this little trailer is their first house. That's my brother Jim. That little trailer, today we would call it a camper. It, of course, did not have any modern plumbing either. And but that is the size of the house that they lived in when I was born. And when I started to learn to walk at 8 months, they decided they needed to move into a house because I was getting into things that I shouldn't get into, a slop bucket and things like that. So so that's me learning to walk. And that's my brother and I with our no modern plumbing bathtub. And this, I think, is my dad's favorite picture of me. A little farm girl there, probably 3 or 4. But 3 if we still lived in that location. We moved on to Guthrie, Iowa, Guthrie Center. And that church did not have a Friends Church. They had an open Bible, which was a little more charismatic than I think was maybe comfortable for my parents. I don't know, but... that's Mom fixing my hair, and I know that that's in Guthrie Center because of the woodwork. See the nice old woodwork. The phone is kind of behind my mom. It's one of these that are on the wall. You crank. You can't see it. It's not in the picture. But you got to crank and talk into it. So one of those old ones. However, we did have plumbing. This is my sister Phyllis getting her bath in the kitchen in Guthrie Center. And that's Jim, me, Phyllis, and our cheesy grins. Oh, what I wanted to say back there about Guthrie Center. Okay, the Open Bible Church, like I said, I was four, and they were going to have their Christmas program. And Jim, of course, had a part in the Christmas program. And I wanted one. And I whined about it. And Dad was like, oh, we'll get you a part in the Christmas program. So they got me a part. Mom made me a little angel costume. And I said my little piece. I sang Away in the Manger with the other older girls. And then they sang another song, I don't know, Silent Night or something, something I didn't know. And when I think back about that, I was this clueless little girl, but I probably was very cute, and probably people enjoyed me, even though I didn't know the words to the song, and I didn't know everything that the older girls knew. And I think about that in life, is that God uses us in our cluelessness. Sometimes He uses us in our cluelessness more than if we know everything. And being in a wheelchair, being sick, being weak, and sometimes feeling clueless has given me opportunities that I wouldn't have had. The church we go to now, the Exchange Church, they do what's called Adopt a Block, and they give out a meal to poor people. And I was just sitting there in my wheelchair, and people would come up and talk to me, and they would ask me questions, and they would share their burdens with me, which they never would have done if I was healthy. And so if we're weak and clueless, that's okay, because that's how God can use us. Okay, this is Grandpa and Grandma Golding. And judging by the way Grandpa is holding his leg, I'm assuming that he already has a wooden leg by this time. Grandpa had diabetes, and so he had first one leg and then the other amputated. And I have always really had this total thing that I don't want to have ever any of my body parts removed. And so I think that has, you know, started way, way back then. I have memories of spending the night with Grandpa and Grandma and seeing Grandpa give himself his injection into his stump. So it wasn't hidden from us, and I think that was pretty profound for a little child to see all that. Grandma and Grandpa loved us very much, and I have very fond memories, and I told my granddaughter that when I get to heaven, I'm going to see my grandma, and that's going to be so cool. And she, Quinn, my granddaughter, was like, I never heard of dying and going to heaven as being cool. And so I was able to, you know, relate as a grandma, because I had such a wonderful grandma. And she prayed for me and loved me. Okay, this is in Summers, Iowa. This is the next place we moved to. Dad had a different route. By this time, Dad was a dairy tester. That swing set, by the way, my mom paid for with by walking beans. And, of course, that's my sister. Oh, I keep pointing over here because that's where I see the picture. My sister and I, in the 50s, of course, we have saddle shoes on. I started kindergarten in Summers, Iowa. But we didn't live there very long, long enough for my brother Tom to be born. But we moved to another town not far away called Gowrie. There's Tom. Tom and Phyllis on the rocking horse. Do we still have the rocking horse? Yeah. Okay. All right. This is me in my defiant pose. This is in Gowrie. By then, we were going to a church in Fort Dodge. There The churches in Gowrie were the Lutheran Church and the Methodist, and they were not really what my parents wanted, so we went to a church in Fort Dodge. And I look at that and I think, wow, that's pretty risque, that little outfit that they let me wear for that. The church we went to was very strict. At least that was my impression as a child. Things like, you know, you heard the evils of dancing and movies and drinking and smoking and makeup and red fingernail polish. And but anyway, we lived in Gowrie from like kindergarten, half of kindergarten through fourth grade. And so it was a time when I learned a lot of Bible stories and learned about God, but not in the way that I necessarily want other kids to learn. I think I might have been the only one in our family, unless my brother Jim was in the children's church where we were taken next door to the parsonage, and a little old lady taught us about hell. And so to me, my memory of that church is of a fire and brimstone church. Don't know if anybody else in my family ever got that impression. She was the kind of lady that she would tell us, well, I saw my neighbor today. I invited him to church. He said, oh, it's too hot to go to church. And her response was, well, it's going to be a lot hotter in hell. Quite the evangelist. But the story that really stuck in my mind was they were trying to get a young woman to go to church. She didn't want to go because she liked to go out dancing on Saturday nights. And I guess she was in an accident or something. And as she was dying, she was screaming that her feet were burning in hell. I don't even know if that story was true, but it's certainly not the sort of story that I would tell a bunch of little kids in children's church. And I think that sometimes in our zeal to bring people into God's kingdom, we feel like we have to frighten them into God's kingdom. And Jesus said, let the little children come to me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Little children are so naive and so easily influenced, and they believe everything you tell them. And we have to be very careful what we tell them, because I think that was a very hurtful thing that we were taught that. And maybe we were also taught the love of God. I remember singing Jesus Loves Me and Jesus Loves the Little Children of the World. But at this point in my life, it didn't get down into my heart. I didn't understand much about God's love. All it was that if I messed up, I was going to hell. And I messed up a lot. I was not a docile child, I guess is the way to put it. So I was very afraid of going to hell. My mom had taught me to pray at night. Now I lay me down to sleep. I ask the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I ask the Lord my soul to take. Sometimes I would tack on to that, and God, please don't let me go to hell. Well, one day, an evangelist came to church as a special guest, and there must not have been children's church that day because I was in the big service. He gave an altar call, and I got up, and I went forward. My dad went up with me. He made the comment later. He's like, he wasn't even that good a speaker, but he had the magic words. He promised me heaven instead of hell. And I wanted that so badly. So I went forward, and they took us off to a room, and all around me were people crying because they were repenting of their sins or whatever. Maybe they wore red fingernail polish. I don't know. Anyway, they were repenting of their sins, and they were convicted, and they needed this cleansing that that God brings when he forgives you. And so everyone was, you know, feeling the effect of all the forgiveness and love and God pouring out his spirit. For me, I felt nothing. It was an intellectual decision. This is third grade, and I was making this intellectual decision because I wanted my get out of hell free card. And God met me at that point. He was willing to just take a little child that all they wanted was to get out of hell. And so that's all I knew for quite a while. We moved to Boone. I'm not sure this picture is in Boone. It might still be in Gowrie because Grandpa has both legs gone now. He's in a wheelchair. But Ken's not in the picture yet, so that gives me a clue that we might not be in Boone yet. Sorry. This is the Boone Free Church. The Free Church actually started in Boone, Iowa. It's a Swedish church. And the word free has to do with the fact that they were free from governmental rule. In Sweden, of course, it was a state church kind of thing. And so in the Free Church, the decisions are pretty much made from the bottom down instead of top up. You know, a lot of churches will have a bishop or something and they make decisions from top up, but the Free Church is from the bottom. And I've been told we were given two names of churches to visit in Boone. One was the Free Church, one was the Christian Missionary Alliance. We went to a Sunday evening service, and we never got around to going to the Alliance. The people just welcomed us in. They sent me off to church camp the very next day, which was quite a challenge because Mom had to do laundry on a Sunday, and she didn't have automatic washer and dryer. She had the old wringer with tubs and all that. But anyway, I went off to camp, and it was such a welcoming church, and that's really important when you think about, you know, people coming in to visit. They need to feel welcome. They need to feel at home. And these people were so good and kind to us. And we, at some point when Mom got sick, we needed their goodness and their kindness. My brother Jim met his friend Tim Deline, who is missionary to Venezuela eventually. Tim was my brother's locker mate all through junior high and high school. My sister Phyllis met her friend Sue Benick, and they were friends all through school. Tom was only 4 at the time, so, you know, he's in the cradle role. And Ken was born while we lived in Boone. So everybody really fit in, except for me. Because in my Sunday school class, there were 2 girls. And whenever a third one comes on the scene, it's a third wheel kind of situation. So if one of them's there, you can hang out with them. But if the other 2 are there, you can't. And so I didn't have this close feeling of friendship with other girls in my Sunday school class. And I understand that because I have been on the giving end of the third girl kind of situation too. So I had some learning to do on my part there. But I think of that as God teaching me to be compassionate. I would be a lot less compassionate. I would be more judgmental if I hadn't had those experiences of being the odd man out. And God uses those hard times in our lives too. I also want to emphasize how important it is for children and teenagers to be welcoming in the church. You know, a lot of times we think, oh, the adults have to be the welcoming ones. But sometimes it's the kids that make or break it. And so encourage your teenagers to be welcoming and loving. Encourage the youth to be welcoming and loving. This is another picture of the church from the inside. You can see Ken is in the picture now. And Mom is very thin. She developed ulcerative colitis, which is one of the many things that are wrong with me. And I guess her dad had ulcerative colitis, so it's genetic. She got very, very sick, and that's why when I mentioned that the church was so good to us, they babysat, they brought meals, they just did so much for us. And that's what a church should do. They were just family for my family. Eventually, Mom did have a colostomy, so when Gloria shared about her relative with diverticulitis, and she said, colonoscopy, that's just a procedure where they examine your colon, but I think what he's probably afraid of is the colonoscopy, because that's where the colostomy, that's where they take your whole colon out, and you wear a bag, and you have to empty it all the time. And so here's another body part removal that stuck in my mind. This is the... Ed, could you bring me a Kleenex? This is the house we lived in. We lived in two different houses in Boone. This is the first house that we lived in. And this is in West Boone. Boone was divided by a street called Division Street. West Boone had one time been called Booneville. Thank you. And it was a coal mining town. And as such, was not as high status as Boone. And I don't think that affected my family much, except for me, because we moved there. Jim was in seventh grade, and you see, we're all dressed for church. Jim in his suit, and okay, Jim was in seventh grade, so he went right from school in Gowrie to junior high. He never went to a West Boone school. And my siblings, by the time they were ready to go in junior high, we had already moved to a different part of town. We were no longer in West Boone. But I had people from church let me know, the little girls, let me know that the West Boone school that I went to, Lincoln, was not as good as the school she went to, which was Page. Page is where all the rich kids went. And so I had that experience. I had another experience of someone saying to me, ridiculing me and saying, nobody cool ever came from West Boone. Kind of makes me think of the verse that says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? But so I had some feelings about not being as good as some of the other people in my life, you know, church people and school people, simply because I had gone to school in West Boone, which is really stupid, I know. But that's the way it was. Okay, so... junior high picture of me. When I was probably just about the summer between my junior year in high school, one of the dear ladies in the church had a bee in her bonnet that I should go to camp, and one of the other little girls that are junior high or high school girls, and I went to camp, which, you know, was okay because there wasn't three of us. We did fine. But it was at this camp that the speaker for the week was Bob Tanner. He was the head of Youth for Christ down in Des Moines. And he had gotten tons of free church kids from the Des Moines area to come to camp. And they were all pretty cool. I mean, you're at the age where the boys are fun to flirt with and the girls are cool. And nobody knew that I was a West Boone kid. So, you know, I could just be whoever. There was this one girl in my cabin, Susie Sievers. She, if Des Moines had had Valley Girls, she would have been that type. She's blonde and pretty and popular. And she was a brand new believer. And one day she said to me, "Don't you just love Jesus?" And I was like, yeah. But it was a lie. I didn't even know Jesus. I had my get out of hell free card. But I didn't know Jesus. I didn't love Jesus. Well, Bob Tanner's, let's go on. Yeah. His text for the week was Psalm 139. And it says a lot of things about God knowing us in and out, as we go out and as we lie down. And verse 7, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, there you are. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast." Now, when I was younger, if I had read, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" it would have been because I wanted to get away from God because he saw everything I did. He knew all my faults and all my sins. And yet this week, it was focused more on verse 10. "Even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." That the God of the universe wanted to guide me. Unbelievable. He knew everything about me. He knew my future. And he wanted to guide me. It was awesome. He knew who I was going to marry. He knew where I should go to school. He knew what my career should be. Why wouldn't I ask his advice? And that became a big turning point in my life, that I wanted God to be someone that I could ask for advice, that I wanted his guidance, that I wanted to do what he wanted me to do. And yes, I wanted to be able to honestly say that I loved Jesus. And that was just a big turning point. That's when I began to love Jesus. That's when I began to grow as a Christian and to know him, not just as my Savior, but Lord, Master, someone who loved me. So, I had lots of friendships in Boone, dated. This is my graduation picture. This is Ed carrying me over the threshold. And it's still a trailer house. I don't know if we're trailer house trash or what, but it's still a trailer house. That's quite a story, too. Maybe Ed can tell you sometime, but he was not a Christian when we first met. In fact, he considered himself an agnostic, and he wanted to date me. That was pretty scary. I was 17. He was 28. And I remember I was sitting at the piano, and my mom was in the living room, and I said to her, "Ed wants to date me. I think I'll invite him to church." And she knew who Ed was because his sister was my best friend. And mom was like, "Well, not this week." I have no idea if this was just a stalling tactic or what, why she would say not this week. But 2 weeks later, Ed came to church with me. And the pastor kept preaching right to his heart. Ed thought that I was telling the pastor all about him. I would never do that. Uh-oh. So after we were married, we went to the Boone Free Church for a while, ended up at the Boone CMA. This is where I first learned about anything about the Holy Spirit. They're big on healing. You guys know that. You pray for healing and you expect healing. A lot of churches, it seems like they pray for healing, but they don't really expect it, I don't think. Anyway, then we moved to Ames. And Ames, the Free Church over there, there wasn't an Alliance Church in Ames. The Free Church there was very intellectual because Ames is Iowa State University. So there are a lot of professors that went to the Free Church in Ames. And that was a good thing for me, too, because I needed to have a lot of intellectual kind of stimulation. That's just who I am. Okay, so we had a bunch of kids. This is the one trip we took. This is Rocky Mountain National Park. I think Sam's even barefooted there, but you can see there's snow. Kids are in shorts and sandals, and it was a fun trip. And then I went back to school. When the kids were in school, I went back to school, got my degree at Iowa State University, Bachelor of Fine Arts in Interior Design. We moved up here. I had the opportunity to transfer up here. And that, I think, has been good for our kids, the opportunities for education and things like that. Let's see. I put this slide in. This is actually before I came down with ulcerative colitis. And I put that in because a lot of people think I've always been skinny. Well, that one, I'm not so skinny there. And Ed, of course, is a lot heavier there. That's before he adopted a vegan lifestyle. So we were both pretty heavy. And I began to be sick. Actually, the fibromyalgia, pretty much, I think you're kind of born with it, but I had pains in my hip in high school, never really thought much of it because mom had pains in her hip. She had arthritis, had a cane. I even had chest pain sometimes when I laughed, and I laughed a lot. But they were minor. But then in my junior year of college, the pains in my hips sometimes got bad enough that it was very difficult for me to walk across campus. And the thing is, with fibromyalgia, it can shift around in your body. So sometimes I'd limp on my left and sometimes I'd limp on my right. And Ed kind of wondered if I was becoming a hypochondriac because that's kind of weird. But I was taking ibuprofen before it was an over-the-counter drug. It was a prescription. They say now people with a genetic dispensation toward ulcerative colitis should never take ibuprofen. It's very hard on your gut. And so eventually I developed ulcerative colitis. And that was in 1997. And when you are sick with an autoimmune disease like that, your immune system just becomes worn out. I've read that if you have a disease like ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease for more than 10 years, your prime target for cancer. I think it was 6 years ago that I discovered a lump in my breast. And because of my whole mindset about wanting to use alternative methods and wanting to not have any body parts missing, et cetera, I made a decision not to go with conventional therapy. I used a lot of alternative therapy. And I feel like I did the right thing. Ed's mother had breast cancer. She had a mastectomy. She had chemo. She had radiation. And 3 years after her mastectomy, she was gone. So I have no regrets about not doing the things that some doctors would say you have to do. The last time I was in the hospital, I think my doctor thought that I was in denial because I was so cheerful. And so the last day when they were going to discharge me from the hospital, he comes in. I'd only met him once before, I think. He came in, and he had his old entourage with him, the physician's assistant, maybe some students because it was at the U. And he was like, "What's the plan?" I'm thinking he should be telling me the plan. But anyway, I said, "Oh, palliative care and hospice, and just stay healthy and comfortable." His response was, he's very serious, because I'm in denial, you know, I'm too cheerful. "Comfortable, yes. Healthy, no. You are in four-stage cancer. You do not have longevity." Well, here I'd been cheerful all this time, and all of a sudden, my emotions just went, phew. I mean, I know I'm dying. How could I not know? But I didn't need him to say that to me like that. And, oh, I forgot, those are my grandkids. Anyway, on we go. Okay, Proverbs 12:18. "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." And, "The words of the reckless pierces swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Okay, so his words were very reckless. They pierced me. And by the time Ed came to pick me up, I was depressed. I was no longer cheerful. And Ed's, you know, wheeling me out to the car. And here's this little, well, actually the little nurse was wheeling me out to the car. And she's like, all cheerful. And she's like, "Now get well." And I'm thinking, I'm not going to get well. I'm going to go home and die. And it took me at least 24 hours to get out of this grumpy mindset that was just all because this doctor had been that way with me. And then the verse that I just read, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." Okay, so my future. I've looked at it. The reason I have been able to be cheerful is because either God is going to miraculously heal me, which would be awesome, and he would be glorified, or I get to go to heaven. What kind of deal? I mean, I am so tired. I'm in so much pain. Going to heaven sounds like a really good idea. So, either way, I win, right? And then a couple of weeks ago, things started going really bad. I got more weak. I actually fell last week. And I realized that there's a third option, and that's lingering. So when you think of me, think thoughts of, she doesn't want to linger. She doesn't want to be depressed. She wants to finish strong. She wants to finish happy and praising the Lord. So I just want to recap the things that I hope you take from this. Little kids sitting in church, seeds are planted. All these little kids of Vicky's over here, seeds are planted in their mind. They're hearing things. Secondly, there's a place for the least of these. Even a clueless little four-year-old that doesn't know the words to the song can glorify God. I want to warn against spiritual abuse and to suffer the little children to come to God. Don't try to frighten them into the kingdom of God. Don't even try to frighten adults into the kingdom of God. I don't think that really works. When new people come to your church, accept them and love them. It doesn't matter how old you are. If you're a child, you can accept and love other kids. And there are a variety of churches out there. There's a variety of ways to come to God. And I'm really thankful that I've had the experience of being in a lot of different churches. And use your gifts. I mean, right now my gift is weakness. So just use your gifts. And have hope, for God is in control. And that's it. So John is going to come and close the service and with a song. And I'm going to have them bring me to the front here. And what I would like is if anybody would like me to pray for them, I would love to pray for them. If anybody would like to come pray for other people that come forward, I would like prayers to come forward. And if you want to pray for me, of course, that's awesome. So...